Gary, thank you for the music. You didn't have any input from me. I was visiting when you were writing and you decided, I'll just do it, forget him. That's fine. And I'm thinking how gracious the Lord works, because when we listen to the sermon this morning and you look back at all of the songs and the words of the songs that you chose, you could just see the hand of the Lord just being in there, because they were all spot on. Thank you, but thank you for the Lord who does that and works through us. Grace, I'm going to mess you around a little bit this morning. I'm going to just read up to verse 20 and then stop, and then I'm going to stay at that verse for a while, and then we'll do 21 to the rest at the end. Just a little heads up. I'm still looking for Kim DeYoung. Do I see Kim? Kim, are you here? I need to get her on the stool of repentance. But it's okay. She'll be here one Sunday, and then we'll get her on the stool of repentance. Some of you know what that is. Some of you don't. In the Presbyterian Church, there is a thing called the stool of repentance. They used it in the church, really did, way back. If you really messed up and sinned badly, they would have the stool of repentance and they would call you out and put you on the stool of repentance in front of the whole church, and you had to repent of your sins. Anyone want to come join me? So I'm waiting for Kim. Father, oh boy, how amazing is your word. How amazing is the work of your Spirit. And we just see that again this morning, just as we sang all these beautiful, beautiful words, reminding us of amazing grace. That sweet sound, Lord, that is so just freely given by you to those of us who have messed up, run away, struggle. And when we come back, Father, to see you as this holy God, waiting in expectation for us, not to judge, but to hold and to love. Thank you for that word again this morning. So in this moment, Lord, just take away all the things that would stand between us and you, all the noise that would prevent us from hearing what you are saying to us through your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. It was at the beginning of the 16th century when the Spanish Inquisition was in full swing in the town of Seville that Jesus appeared in this town. One day after 100 Christians had been burnt for being, according to the church, heretics. Said Ivan to his brother Alyosha in Dostoevsky's book, The Brothers Karamazov. And in the book, Ivan is the atheist and Alyosha is the Christian. So out of nowhere, Ivan tells the story about Jesus appearing a day after the church murders people. So he says, the day after this happened, Jesus appeared, and the regular people were so happy to see Jesus. They couldn't wait to just hold him and touch him and hug him. And he stayed, and the day after that, they found him again on the steps of the cathedral. And there he did miracles, and he healed people, and he was talking to them. And while he was doing this, the cruel cardinal who burned the people on the stake with his soldiers appeared, and the people fell on their faces in fear and reverence. And the cardinal, with a flick of his little finger, had his soldiers take Jesus prisoner and throw him in jail. Later that night, said Ivan to Alyosha, the cardinal went to go talk to Jesus. He walked into the jail cell and he looked at Jesus and he started yelling at him and said, "Why did you come back? We don't need you anymore. The church doesn't need you anymore. I tell them what to do. They listen to me. You shouldn't be here." And before Jesus could say a thing, he was just going, ranting, this tirade against Jesus. when he was done, he looked at Jesus with a smirk on his face and he says, "And tomorrow another heretic is going to be burned on the stake, and that's you." Jesus said nothing. He just got up and he walked to the cardinal and he kissed him. Alyosha said to Ivan, "So did that change the cardinal?" "No," says Ivan. He was flustered, but he never changed. Go read the rest of the story yourself. But I tell you the story because against this backdrop of Jesus appearing and this way in which he and the cardinal were talking and how it ends, is I think sometimes how we feel. How do I feel when I have this encounter with God? What is going to happen? Because sometimes in my own life, I live in this tension, this dichotomy in my own life. On the one hand, I'm so overwhelmed by this amazing knowledge of God's saving grace that comes so freely. I can't buy it. I can't work for it. It's just this gift that overflows. And I'm thinking, how? Because on the other hand, I am so overwhelmed with this knowledge, looking at my own life, of my brokenness, of my sin, of my messes in my own life. Martin Luther said it beautifully in the Latin. And you all know Latin, right? Sounds like this. Simul justus et peccator. It's easy Latin. Simul, simultaneously. Justus, justice, justified. Et, and. Peccator means sinner. Simultaneously, I am justified despite the fact that I'm a sinner. Or maybe the English is easy. Simultaneously, saint and sinner. And that's kind of a little bit of the dichotomy in which we live in our own lives. So what does God do with this sinner saint? And what happens when God comes close to this sinner saint? Second part of our series, Heaven Celebrates. Story of the father and the two lost boys, because they're both lost. We're going to talk about the young one today. Starts in verse 11, which we're not going to read. Young one comes to his dad. He says, "Give me my part of the estate." In a sense, he's saying to his dad, "You're dead, because when do you inherit your estate?" Right? So he's saying, "Give it." And he turns away. Dad's dead for him. Goes away to a far distant land. Squanders all that God gave him, or all that his father gave him. Messes it up. Ends up for a little Jewish boy, a horrible place, in a pigsty. Messed up. Lost. Got nothing left. Then we read verse 17. "When he came to his senses," what a beautiful translation. "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out, go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.'" Remember that line. "So make me like one of your hired servants." So he got up and went to his father. Messed up, walked away, turned his back, decided his dad's dead, and then realizes, "What have I done?" And now he goes back to this father. What happens when we have a close encounter with God? And now we're going to break this up in little pieces, so you can just leave it on there, Grace. Just make it easy on you. I'm going to break it up in little pieces. What happens? It starts with a but. "But while he was still far off, his father saw him." What does God do when these runaway renegades come back home? God saw him. For some people, that's a scary thought, because they're thinking, we know God sees everything. And if God is looking at me, God is looking at me to judge me, to tell me you've done this wrong, you've messed up there. You got it wrong if that's the way you think of God when God sees you. It's not true. Maybe one of the most beautiful verses for me in the Bible, and we don't read that often because we don't read the book of Chronicles often. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro across the world to seek those whose hearts are fully committed to Him so that He can bless them and strengthen them. Wow. That's how much Father God cares. He looks out for you and me. He's looking. He's seeking us not to do this, but to do, how can I help you? How can I hold you? How can I welcome you? How can I carry you? Remember when God sees? God saw His people in Egypt, and He said to Moses, I saw my people. And when God sees, God does. Go, Moses, go take my people, get them out. When Hagar is there in the desert thinking that she and her little boy are going to die, God appears and God sees her. And Hagar calls Him the God who sees. Not to judge her, to help her. When old Jacob is all messed up and doing all kinds of stuff that he shouldn't be doing, God sees Jacob. When God looked at us and looked at this world and the mess we made, God saw. And what did God do? He sent Jesus, not to judge, to die, to bring life for us. Here's the cool thing. When this boy comes back and his father sees him, there's a way in which the father sees him. He doesn't look at him like we do, forgive me, at the homeless guys who stand at the traffic light. We look right past them as if they don't exist. There's this stinky, smelly kid. And his father looks at him. He doesn't look past him. He doesn't look at him and say, stinky, smelly kid. You get out of my sight. I don't want to see you again. You're too dirty. You're too messed up. The father looks at him, and what does the father call him? The opposite of what the boy said. The boy said, I'll go back and say, I don't want to be your son anymore. I'm not your son anymore. Just call me a servant. And his father calls him a son. And he looks at his son the way that you and I would look at our children. He looks at you, sis, and he says, there's my daughter. He looks at you, my brother, and he says, there's my son. How can I bless you? It's amazing to see you again, even if you walked away and squandered all that I have given you. Come back. It's okay. I see you. But always when God sees, and I taught you this before, especially the Old Testament, ra'ah means to see in Hebrew. It always is followed by an action. God doesn't just see and say, yeah, saw that. God sees and God acts immediately. Look at the action. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and he was filled with compassion for him. And this word I have taught you in Greek. All of you should know this word off by heart by now. It's one of the most tender, kind, loving, gracious, I wish I knew more words. Words in the whole Greek language, especially in the New Testament. It's the word splachnitsomai. And I've said that to you before, splachnitsomai. Let me explain it a little bit. The word for heart in Greek is the word cardia. You know that well, cardiologist. Echocardiogram, it's all about cardia. But the inner part of this, and maybe Dr. Geddes can help me, or maybe Dr. Shaila can help me if they still remember their anatomy. That inner part of the heart is called the splachna, the most inner part. So where does this come from? Splachnitsomai. That which starts in the most inner part is turned upside down and reaches out. That's what splachnitsomai means when it says compassion. It's this turning of the inside saying, oh my goodness, look at you. I love, remember those days when you fell in love and you saw her and you just go, ooh, and everything just happens? Splachnitsomai. When God looks at us, that's what happens in God's heart. From the most inner part of his heart, there's this turning towards me and you. That's what it looks like when God sees me. He says, Elizabeth, I love you compassionately. My heart jumps for joy when I see you. But in that same joy, my heart sees your hurt and your need and your brokenness, and I am going to help you with that. Think of Jesus, his ministry. He illustrated that throughout his ministry. Mark chapter 1, he sees these broken people, these lepers who are cast out by society. And when we read in Mark, he says when Jesus saw him, Jesus splachnitsomai. When he saw them, he had compassion. And what did he do? He healed them. When Jesus sees this hopeless woman, the widow of Nain, who had this only boy, and her boy died, we read, and Jesus' heart splachnitsomai. And he rose her son. When he stood on the mountain, Matthew 9, with these people who are hungry and lost, his heart splachnitsomai, and he fed them. And he gave them new hope. That's what God does. That's what God's heart does. Because God's heart can be broken. God's heart can weep. God's heart can be moved. God has compassion. Doesn't end. But when he saw him, he had compassion. And then he ran to his son. Boy, just think of this. This boy said, you're dead. Give me my stuff. I'm out of Dodge. I'm done with you. Boy comes back, smells like a pig, looks like a pig, did as a pig. And not only does God see him, Father see him, not only does Father's heart just break open for him, he runs at this boy. And I told you this before. This is not something that they will do, especially in those days. You did not show your legs in public. That was a disgrace. That's why they wear those long clothes. For his father to run, he had to pick it up, show his legs and run. Look at the image. Father doesn't care about whatever, who is going to say. When father sees his children, he's prepared to do whatever it takes, and he will run towards us. Not away, towards us. That's what God does. God runs to you and me when we run away. Remember the Hound of Heaven, where the rabbit was running away from the dog all the time until the rabbit couldn't run anymore one day, and he fell down and waited for the dog to pounce, and the dog fell down beside him panting, saying, I'm so glad I caught up at least with you. I just wanted to tell you how much I love you. That's what Father does. He'll run and run as far as you run. He's going to run at you. Not to catch you. To have compassion. And then the climax of the story. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. What an image to be kissed by God. I'm sorry for all the Greek, but you need to read them. It's so beautiful when you read them. Here's another one. It's made of two words. It's the word for kiss in Greek. It's a big word, kataphileo. Come here, I want to kataphileo you. It sounds wrong, right? But kata phileo is so beautiful. Kata is the word that says according to or intensely. And phileo, you know by now, it's to love. Philadelphia, phileo adelphos, the love of your brother. Kata phileo, according to love, intensely love. And when you put them together, it means to kiss affectionately. Just think of that for a second. It's not a hello. It's that kiss when you've been away for 4 weeks in Mexico and you come back and your kids are waiting for you and they put their arms around you and they just kiss you and say, I love you. It's so good to see you back. Actually, I hate you because you were away. No, I'm joking. That just affectionate kiss that you just can't help. You're just, can I just kiss you over and over? Like this little thing that comes to me every week and stops here and gives me that kiss. That's it. That's the kind of kiss that God kisses you with. What a God. What a God. Who opens his arms, runs at me, puts his arms around me and kisses me. Me who was lost. Me who ran away. Me who played with the pigs. Me who messed up this life that he made so beautiful. Me who gets it wrong so often. And when my dad sees me, that's what he does. See the story's ending, verse 21. Son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. There's that line again. But, here's the but. The father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Bring a ring for his finger, sandals for his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. Now look at these words. For this child of mine, this son of mine, was dead and is alive again. This child was lost and is found. And so heaven, just adding a word, began to celebrate. I think I'm not a child anymore because I messed it up. No. I'm his child. And that's what my father does. Oh, to be kissed by God. Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer. Father, so I just want to use kind of worldly words to say, your word is so cool. Just to read this. And to see how you care for us. And how you remind us of who we are in you. How amazing is that? How amazing to be kissed by you. Affectionately. Passionately. For that is who you are and that's how much you love us. Even when we've run away. Thank you for amazing grace. A grace that will seek. It'll leave the 99 to find the one. The 10 to find the one. And it'll look for both of those who are lost in the end. And open the arms for both. Thank you. Thank you for your grace and your open arms. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is our privilege to give of our gifts.